French President Emmanuel Macron wins re-election. Plus, top U.S. officials visit Ukraine, pledging an increased diplomatic presence and new military aid. And what to expect as major tech companies prepare to report earnings.
Investors are already feeling pretty jittery. And if we continue to see companies not perform very well, it really could weigh even further on the stock market.
It's Monday, April 25th. I'm Luke Vargas with The Wall Street Journal. Here's the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. French President Emmanuel Macron was re-elected on Sunday by a wide margin of about 17 points, according to the government. He defeated far-right challenger Marine Le Pen, who framed her campaign as a fight against inflation. WSJ reporter Noemi Biserb says that despite becoming the first French president to secure a second term in office since 2002, Macron will face challenges governing a country that's become increasingly divided along economic, geographic, and generational lines.
There was a sense of relief here in Paris among many last night. Still, Mr. Macron is under pressure to unite millions of French who cast ballots for his rivals in the first round of voting, when more than 50% of the vote went to candidates on the far right and the far left. Mr. Macron's win was wider than expected by polls, but Ms. Le Pen managed to significantly narrow Mr. Macron's margin of victory compared with the 2017 election, when Mr. Macron notched a 32-point landslide against her.
U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken has said Ukraine is winning its war against Russia after he and Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin met with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky in a visit to Kyiv and announced the U.S. will reopen its embassy in Ukraine and provide an additional $322 million of military aid. Austin said Russia's defense capabilities should be degraded, quote, to the degree that it can't do the kinds of things that it has done in invading Ukraine. We'll have more on how Russia's losses on the battlefields of Ukraine could impact the future course of the war later in the show. Meanwhile, large fires broke out at fuel storage facilities in the Russian region of Bryansk, some 60 miles from the border with Ukraine, as well as at a nearby military fuel depot, Russian state media said. This comes less than a month after Russia said Ukrainian helicopters had launched strikes that caused a fire at an oil depot in Russia's Belgorod region. And Russian missiles struck railroad targets in central Ukraine early Monday, according to Ukrainian officials. Beijing residents are stocking up on essentials as China's capital has begun mass COVID-19 testing of more than 3 million people living and working in the Chaoyang district, a favored location for foreign multinationals, embassies, and global media organizations. Despite the fact that Beijing has reported only a fraction of China's new COVID-19 cases, WSJ reporter Zhou Yu Wang says concern is spreading that the government could replicate the approach it's taken in Shanghai, which is entering its fifth week of sweeping lockdowns, mass testing, and strict quarantines.
This latest measure coming from the government has left many in Beijing with an anticipation of a possible lockdown. Many of them have rushed to supermarkets to load up on food, water, and other necessities, just so that they can prepare for the worst.
Amid concerns about further lockdowns, Chinese stocks suffered their worst sell-off in 2 years today, and the Chinese currency hit its lowest level since late 2020. And we are exclusively reporting that Twitter is in discussions to sell itself to Elon Musk and could finalize a deal as soon as this week, according to people familiar with the matter. The dramatic turn of events comes just 10 days after Musk unveiled his $43 billion bid for the social media company. The two sides met Sunday to discuss Musk's proposal and were making progress, though they still had issues to hash out, the people said. There is no guarantee they will reach a deal. Twitter is slated to report first quarter earnings Thursday and had been expected to weigh in on the bid then, if not sooner. Get ready for the biggest week of earnings season, as about a third of the S&P 500 and nearly half of the Dow Jones Industrial Average are set to provide their quarterly updates starting today. Among them are major tech companies whose ability to sustain the momentum they've shown in the past even during the pandemic, will be closely watched. And here with a look at what we can expect this week is WSJ Markets reporter Caitlin McCabe. Hey, Caitlin, thanks for being with us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Of course. So earnings season has been a bit of a mixed bag so far, I'd say. Are we expecting tech firms to buck that trend or offer us, I guess, a continued mix of good and bad news?
So we're really going to see big tech fall in line with those trends. So, of course, last week we had the first big tech company, Netflix, report, and things were worse than analysts expected. And so investors are really going to be watching the rest of these stocks this week, the likes of Apple, Facebook, Microsoft, Amazon, largely because they've done so well from an earnings perspective over the last 2 years, as well as from a market perspective, too. But some analysts are expecting that boom could be ending this quarter. Only Microsoft is expected to significantly increase profit from the same quarter a year ago. And in contrast, the biggest decline is expected to come from Meta, which also really startled investors back in February during its fourth quarter results with sharper than expected declines in profits.
Caitlin, what is accounting for this gloomier than usual outlook from these companies?
So I think one important piece of context is that really across the board, beyond just these stocks, we aren't expecting the same kind of earnings growth that we've become accustomed to the last few quarters. And that's because we're comparing results to 2021 now, which was also a very good year for companies. And last year, we had been comparing results against 2020, which of course was the year of lockdowns during the pandemic. So all results seemed really great. But that being said, there are forces weighing on the outlook for some of these companies. Meta, which is Facebook's parent, said last quarter that it expected revenue growth to slow because users are spending less time on its more lucrative services. And it also cited inflation as a weight on advertiser spending. And so I do think that this come down from this pandemic era burst of activity will be one of the things really weighing on these companies, in addition to some of these bigger issues that all companies are facing right now, like inflation and supply chain issues.
And what could the wider effect be for markets if these tech giants are no longer the growth powerhouses that they have basically been in recent years?
About a third of S&P 500 companies will report earnings this week, but there's a reason why people are watching these big tech companies very closely, and that's because they make up such a large chunk of the market capitalization of the S&P 500. And we're in this period right now where markets are already incredibly fragile, as we saw last week. And so I think we're coming into this week where investors are already feeling pretty jittery. And if we continue to see, in addition to sort of following the Netflix trend, these companies not perform very well from an earnings perspective, I think it really could weigh even further on the stock market.
That was WSJ Markets reporter Caitlin McCabe. Caitlin, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Coming up, 9 weeks into the war in Ukraine, and Russia faces an increasingly daunting task, replacing destroyed weapons and battlefield equipment. We'll look at why rolling new tanks and aircraft off the assembly line may not be that easy for Moscow after the break.
WSJ Special Access gives you a front row seat to some of The Wall Street Journal's most exciting content, like The Quirkier Side of Life, a new series that features the fun, surprising stories our reporters come across.
The chief executive walks 10,000 barefoot steps every day. He recalls stepping on a bee, which put him off earthing for a couple of days, but he got back to it.
Check out The Quirkier Side of Life on WSJ Special Access, only for WSJ subscribers.
Russia has suffered some heavy losses of weapons in Ukraine, according to Oryx, an open-source intelligence tracker that now includes more than 500 main battle tanks and 20 fighter jets, all in all more than 3,000 pieces of large equipment. Dan Michaels is the Wall Street Journal's Brussels bureau chief, and he joins us now to discuss where all of this leaves the Russian military machine and how that may affect the progress of the war. Hey, Dan.
Great to be with you.
So what do these losses reveal about the strengths and weaknesses of Russia's operation so far?
So Russia and the Soviet Union before it had an approach of throw lots of stuff at the war. The Soviets did this during World War II, and it was going to essentially be their approach to World War III if it happened with the West. And so the Russians have, on paper, something like 12,000 tanks and even more armored personnel carriers, things like this. They just have massive, massive numbers. And they have shown themselves to be fairly willing to take pretty high losses in throwing large volumes of equipment at a battle. And so far in this war, with relatively little gain, because a lot of what they're throwing at the Ukrainians is fairly old and not designed to resist the type of weapons that the Ukrainians are using, supplied mostly by the West, but also including some Ukrainian weapons, like these Javelin and Enlaw anti-tank weapons, Ukrainian Stugna anti-tank weapons, that when the Ukrainians get close enough, they just destroy the Russian tanks and other equipment.
Okay, so Ukraine increasingly may have more sophisticated weapons, but Russia obviously still has a massive military reserve. Isn't that a big advantage for them still?
It definitely is. Because, well, first off, very few of those tens of thousands of vehicles that the Russians have are usable immediately. They're sitting parked somewhere and will need maintenance, if not significant repair, to be made usable. That said, even out of, let's say there are 12,000 tanks, even if a few thousand of them can be taken out of mothballs pretty quickly, that's a lot of tanks. So that is a reserve. But there are questions about what is Russia's capacity to bring them back into readiness for action. Another factor here is the Russians are going to take their best equipment, easiest to repair, first. If the war drags on, and if Ukraine continues to be supplied by the West with what seems to be increasingly modern equipment, because the U.S. and its allies over recent days have said they're going to be supplying more lethal weapons to Ukraine and more modern weapons, over time, the balance would seem to tip towards the favor of the Ukrainians, because they will have more modern weapons, and the Russians will be working backwards in their inventory towards older and less good weapons. So in a protracted war, if it goes on for months, the Russians really could eventually face some troubles in resupplying their troops.
Dan, Ukraine is getting military help from the West. Can Russia keep up by producing new weapons from its own defense industry, or what about buying new weapons from elsewhere?
It seems that Russia is stuck with what it currently has for a number of reasons. First is Western sanctions. It doesn't seem like any country right now is going to supply Russia with weapons, at least nothing modern and sophisticated. There might be some countries that buy a lot of their defense equipment from Russia, such as India or Egypt or Algeria, might in theory be willing to, for example, sell some of it back. Problem there is financial sanctions. So Russia is going to struggle to get equipment from anywhere outside of Russia, and even manufacturing in Russia could be difficult, again, because of those sanctions, because Russia needs electronics from outside. It needs things like bearings that they don't have the technology to produce. And the other thing that they really need is the machines that make the weapons. So German, Swiss, Japanese machine tools are incredibly sophisticated. And the Russians have just been buying those. There is no Russian machine tool industry. So all of those machine tools and all that factory equipment is embargoed now. So the Russians are going to run out of not just new equipment, but the things they need to make the equipment.
And finally, Dan, Russia's arsenal still contains powerful weapons, be they chemical or nuclear weapons. Is there a risk of those coming into play if conventional armaments prove inadequate?
Yeah, it's definitely a concern looking ahead that if things really do go quite badly for the Russians on the battlefield in this fairly conventional war, and if Putin really feels he has his back up against the wall, that he would turn to unconventional weapons, things like chemical warfare, biological warfare. The Russians even talk about using small nuclear weapons, what are called tactical nuclear weapons. That's one of the reasons that Western governments have avoided entering the war directly, is this fear that this could turn into something much worse, because no one really knows what the Russians will do if things go really bad.
That was Wall Street Journal Brussels bureau chief Dan Michaels. Dan, thank you for the update.
Thank you for having me.
And finally, the Scrabble-style online game Words with Friends has seen a revival since the start of the pandemic, allowing word nerds around the globe to socialize and even fall in love. But what many players didn't know, at least until word started spreading on Reddit, is that software programs known as bots had been introduced to the game since 2019, leading many to feel betrayed. And this practice is actually more common than you might think. According to app analytics firm Sensor Tower, 7 of the 10 most played mobile games use software programs disguised as people. And WSJ tech reporter Sarah Needleman says that Words with Friends creator Paul Bettner, who sold the game to Zynga, says bots in games are likely here to stay.
Bots weren't originally in the game, but he does think they're a clever solution to this problem of not having a real-life opponent immediately available. And he said that with the coming of the metaverse, we ought to get used to interacting with artificial intelligence. And so maybe a little bit of a shock to the system at first, but this may be an indication of where we are headed in the future as we spend more time online with a more immersive technology than what we have today.
And that's What's News for Monday morning. We'll be back tonight with a new show. I'm Luke Vargas with The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.